Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
I'll stand and we'll pray. Before I forget, remember this microphone is going to be here for you. And so you have a word, you have a testimony, a prayer, you know, just let God lead you today. And thank you guys for all being here. We're going to have a good time today. God's in the house. Amen. Father God, we thank you, Lord. And Lord, our invitation to you is always 100% of the time, Lord. Without you, we might as well all go home. So we thank you, Lord, that you love us. We thank you, Lord, that you call us to be with each other, Lord, to be in your presence. And so we thank you, Lord, that today, Lord, you're going to meet us just where we are as a group, as an individual. And Lord, that there's blessings from heaven that await us if we just know how to receive, Lord. And yet, Lord, that we could give more back to you and not think about the receive part, Lord. That we could just give our hearts to you today, Lord. We praise you and we thank you in the name of Jesus. And now let's worship.
How many of you know this morning that God is more than able, way more than able to do anything in our lives? You know, Abraham, when God asked him, he told him to take his son, right? And to offer him as an offering. And no matter how many times I've heard the story, I just love that when you really read in it, there's like little things, right? Like he gets everything together, he gets his firewood, he gets all the stuff he needs, and he starts going. And Isaac, at some point, he even asked, he's like, "Dad, we got all the stuff we need, but where's the offering?" And in those moments, you know, it's probably killing Abraham, like, man, God's told me you're the offering, you know what I mean? And that's his son. But I love what he tells him, because he says, God will provide the offering. Right? Because his faith is so strong that he knows God gave me a promise for a son, and this son was the answer to a promise, right? So in faith, he took his son to sacrifice him, knowing, I know that the God that I serve is just. And whether it's that he has me sacrifice him, then he had enough faith to believe then he'll bring him back. But if I go all the way there and we still don't have an offering, that he'll also provide, right? It was faith that in no matter what happened, that he knew God would take care of it. Right? Knowing that there was nothing that was impossible for God. See, that's powerful, right? Even in our lives, because there's gonna be things that God asks you to do that may not make any sense to you at all. But understanding that when God speaks, that's the most important thing to us, is to do whatever he says. It's a game changer. It really is, right? Yeah. See, we gotta have faith that understands that even when we're being asked to give up our most precious gift, right? For Abraham, it was that he was promised a son. And he was given it, right? So that gift was precious to him. See, even when we're asked to give up the thing that we hold on to the tightest in our life, when we can come to a point of surrender where we know that God is bigger than all of it, that even my most precious thing is nothing to him. He can do way more, right? See, it'll change things in our life. We will become way more effective to the people around us, to the world around us, when we understand that he and him and his plans, the things that he wants in his kingdom, are way above anything that we can ever plan ourselves. Anything we can ever think is better, right? As people, we tend to want to do this thing where we just hold it. I think this is really good, so this is what I want, right? Or even, I don't know who this is for, but I can really feel it. Emotions can be a driving force, right? If God's telling you I feel like this is insensitive, but it's not. If God's telling you to stop being so sensitive, it's because he's trying to grow you. See, emotions can really mess some things up for us, right? They can anger, frustration, hurt, like all of those things, right? Sometimes we can let them run what we choose and what we're going to do. Sometimes we can let them be a driving force, but they're not meant to be a driving force. See, when we can learn to just let things go and let God do what he wants to do, it's a different surrender, right? God wants you to be effective to people around you. If every little thing that somebody says or does hurts you, then it's hard for you to be a witness of who God is to them. See, it doesn't matter that God fights every battle on your behalf. See, every single one. Oscar and I really learned some really big lessons this year on we coach. Coaching in this day and age, I'm gonna be honest, it's real difficult because you got a lot of parents who want you to make their kids better but don't want you to structure them and be on them about things, right? It's like they want you to handle them with these kitty gloves at the same time as like, okay, let's get you on this track, right? Well, there have been several moments this year, well, in this past year, that in coaching, God's taught us some major lessons about, okay, it's time to just shut your mouth and just let me do it, right? And can I tell you, that's really difficult. We've gone through some moments where we had parents literally telling people like, oh, they did this or they did that, right? And we knew that God was telling us, no, don't say anything. Don't say anything. Just keep doing what you're doing and I'll handle it, right? And one of these in particular, Oscar was trying to get a job. And something, we do a club basketball program, right, for Saudita. And one of the parents got upset with us, and she just so happened to have the ear of the coach that was hiring. And, you know, when things started to happen, it really became this thing of like, oh, one, you want to get angry, right? Like, man, this person is saying stuff about us that's not even true, right? But then two, It was like this thought process of like, we gotta say something because that's your job that depends on it, right? But God was still like, nope, like, don't say anything. You just love on her regardless of how she's treating you, how she's acting, and you just let me work, right? And see, getting your emotions under control when you're used to letting your emotions be what runs you can be real difficult, right? And that's the thing is, I feel like I've actually been pretty good over years. I feel like God dealt with me in this young, right? So even in like jobs and things, when people would be real mean to me, I felt like I was pretty good about being like, okay, it's all right. You're doing like, but I'm gonna be honest, when it was my husband being attacked, ooh, it was like this like protective feeling of like, oh, that lady, right? Like I was getting real mad. And I knew God was dealing with me like, hey, you still gotta learn to rein it in. And we did. And that's the thing. This year, we've seen God do some things with, it may seem little to other people. Like we've seen our teams have winning seasons. We've seen like really good success, really good things. But when I, even when I was talking to my daughter, I was telling her, see, we had in this last year where people were second guessing, are you good coaches? Are you good leaders? Are you good because of things people said? And it was like God just built up our teams, our kids, our relationships, everything, so that the outcome would be what spoke to people, not our fighting for ourselves. See, God fights on your behalf in everything. In everything, right? Even the little things, the things that seem like not that big of a deal. See, we could have been like, oh, it's one parent, it's not a big deal. But we live in a small town. It is a big deal. Do you know what I mean? But see, that's the thing, is no matter what, it was never a physical fight that needed to happen, right? Like, if they want to say whatever they want to say, it was, we still let God fight that battle, right? See, the church becomes effective. Oh, I don't know what's going on, guys, but I can really feel all this. And I don't know if it's for someone in particular. But even in the little things, God's fighting on your behalf. And he's never going to leave you looking like the fool for standing on him. You stand on him and it's a guarantee that he's gonna bring you forward and up from where you're at. Nothing's gonna hold you back when you allow him to direct your life in every single avenue. Not just the big moments, but even the small decisions like relationships and friendships and whatever it is, they all are important if you let God deal in them for you. See, God's building constantly, and his builds don't always have to be the biggest thing possible. Sometimes it starts right here, right? Building the small little things that begin to show as you grow and as you do things, and it's all because of a relationship with him. Knowing more and more of who he is and realizing that you don't gotta step in. You just gotta keep looking at him and he'll show you all of it.
I've come up here to tell you about my awesome God who is more than able. More than able. Okay. Just been through probably two gruesome months of getting ready to downsize a house and move. and it's come to the situation, got to the area where last Tuesday we were finally ready to go over and take our check to be able to get a key to move in the next morning. And we had a 2:30 appointment. We got ready and it was about 10 after 2. Got out to the car. My husband was waiting for me. We back up. And the car has been fine for 17 years. We backed out of the driveway and the undercarriage of the car started scraping and we couldn't move. We were supposed to be there in 20 minutes. It was a 10-minute drive, but we weren't going anywhere. So, God's perfect timing. Our neighbor, two doors over, who's come with us come with me to Mighty Women many times, but her husband won't let her come with me on Sunday mornings because he says that it's a cult. And she wants to come, but anyway, she's over at the mailbox just at the time that we were sitting in the car with this screeching noise. And she said, "I'll drive you over." Hallelujah. So she got ready and she took us. And in the meantime, we're supposed to be there, so I'm trying to get in touch with the person that we were going to be late for. So I got a message to them. And then we were supposed to, at 3 o'clock, meet somebody there to have dinner with them. And I tried to get a hold of them and could get a hold of them. So we turned up. We got there. We were 10 minutes early rather than late. We went through that. We got to the to meet the people for dinner, and we were 15 minutes early. So that was taken care of. But in the meantime, we were supposed to move at 9 o'clock in the morning and to follow the movers with us over to the apartment. And what do you do when you can't move the car? Call AAA. They could come and put a battery in, but what are they going to do if the car, you know, it doesn't move? They're going to have to tow it or whatever. So the thought came to me at 5 minutes to 6 that night, called Mr. Automotive, thinking, well, I'll leave a message for the morning. Phone rang about 10 times. I was ready to leave the message, and somebody answered. I said, "Hallelujah. What are you doing there?" And he says, "Well, I was closing up." I said, "Well, let me tell you my story." And he says, "Well, you could probably climb under the car and take a look at it and maybe tie something up or whatever." I says, "Okay, at 81 and 84, in the dark, I don't think that that's real feasible." So he said, "Well, where do you live?" Gave him the address. He says, "Well, that's on my way home. I'll stop in." Stopped in. So what are we going to use? About 5 years ago, I bought this duct tape that was like, would be Gorilla duct tape is what I got. And my husband says, "Oh, I don't think we have that anymore." I says, "Well, let me go inside and look. I found it." He said, "Well, if we have it, we don't have enough." So I took it out and I said to the guy, "Can you use this?" He says, "Oh, yeah." So he's in there, pulls off one strip, two strips, three strips, Lowe's and Fishes, four strips. Got the thing fixed. We were able to drive the car that morning. So, that's just one provision. I'm going to tell you another provision. That morning when we did get moved over and we were going to have breakfast when we got up that next morning, I couldn't find tea bags. I couldn't find anything. But then I finally found a tea bag and I put it in. And my husband moved the teapot, and 10 minutes later, I didn't know where it was. And I wonder where the water was. I got over, I look at the electric teapot. It was down, gone. The thing died. The teapot died. So the provision for that is that the next morning when the girl was doing our house sale, she says, how's it going? I told her about what happened in the teapot. She says, oh, I have a brand new electric teapot in a box. I'm going to give it to you for a housewarming gift. She brought it over and we had it for the next morning. So, just each and every little step, my husband is seeing God's provision now. So, whenever yesterday one of the residents said, will you have breakfast with us on Sunday morning and go to Sunday brunch? And my husband said, yeah, I really don't want to do that. I think you should go to church.
So, do we come into this world with anything? No? Do we go out of this world with anything? Do we take anything with us? Whose is it? God's. Yeah, God's. Yep. Are we good stewards? What's a steward? Anybody? Stewards, what's a good steward? Taking care of things. Cool. Okay. Are we glorifying God? With what we do, are we glorifying God? God willing, yes. Hopefully we are, yes. Are we building up? Or are we tearing down? Hopefully we're building up, right? Right? Can we see Matthew 6:33? But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Amen. There's actually a verse 34 that starts with, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. It's always good to read like before and after, not just the verse, but yeah, before and after. Yeah. So, can we see the next one, Matthew 6:20? Oh, thank you for putting that up, Liz. I didn't give you that one. Thank you. But lay up your treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. I'm a very visual person. So what does this kind of stuff look like? Okay. What is our treasure? What is the kingdom? What does any of this stuff look like? How about we go to Matthew 25. This one's a longer one. It's 35 to 45. So, for I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did you see me hungry? When did I see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to any of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. So we have some time, we have some talent, and we have some treasures, right? We all have the same 24 hours a day, right? So what are we going to do with it? We have these first fruits. Abraham had his son, right? We just learned about first fruits. Abraham was asked to sacrifice his son. And it makes me think of one little story. We were just talking about this in Bible study because it was 2012 and it was playoffs and we were at a cousin's house watching the Patriots. Luckily, the cousin's house is closer to the hospital than our house was because we were up in Massachusetts at the time. So here we are watching the game and we're rooting for the Patriots. It's a thing, you know. I'm not really much into sports, but it's a thing, playoffs and Super Bowl. So we're rooting and I'm watching my son and he's only blinking with one eye. And I'm like, what's going on? And I say, Christopher, squeeze my hands. And he's like 6'1", 6'2", something like that. Anyway, and he's not squeezing my hand on the right side. And I am panic mode now. I am like, we're going to the hospital right now. So we get in the car and we are driving to the hospital. And it's playoffs. Who's paying any attention? We're starting to get into the building and he's losing his right leg. And I'm in full panic mode. Full panic mode. We get in there and we're trying to explain to the people and they're like, yeah, okay, whatever. They look at him and they say, raise your eyebrows. And only one goes in, up. So now they're in full panic mode and there's code this, that, the other. So after 4 or 5 days now in the hospital, and the primary care has him in a wheelchair, they're thinking it's transverse myelitis and can you do what you like from a chair? But he's getting more sick and he's getting more weak and we're falling apart. I'm sobbing like I'm losing my son and we're there by his side. And day 5, 6, 7, whatever it was, we are sobbing and giving up. God, he's yours. I was always a control freak. I was always a perfectionist. And, you know, my way or the highway. But he's God's. He's God's. I'm sobbing and take him, Lord. Heal him, Lord. He's yours. Take good care of him, Lord. Please take good care of him. So we have a blizzard and we finally get out of this second hospital and we're going up to a third hospital, Mass General. We're like at day 8 going into 9 and they start all over with the neuro team and all this stuff. And they find it is a virus in the brain. They get him off of everything and he is alive. And God's not done with him. And these are our first fruits. These are our first fruits. And we are supposed to be good shepherds. And praise God, he is just down the road in Orange Grove. He's running the sound system up at Faith Community. And his son He got married. He has two kids, and his son Parker, you've met. I've had him many times. You're the little youngin. So this is what first fruits means to me. That are we putting God first? Are we putting God first? Or are we falling asleep at the end of the night on our daily Bible verse? Or when we think about it, or when we need him? 911 God. Is he our 911 God? Or is he our first thought? So there's something in Malachi 3:10. All right. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. Well, I worked with elementary school. I was in the school system 20-something years, so I needed visuals. I needed visuals, especially with the kids and stuff. So if I've got 10 dimes, right, what is that going to mean? 10 cents, right? All right, first fruits. So I get to keep the other 9, right? Okay. What about tomatoes? If I got 10 of those, what does that look like? Right? First fruits to God, and I get to keep the rest. He's not asking for all of it, just 10% to build up the kingdom, right? God knows, I don't, but God knows this is what we should be doing, right? So carrots, okay, you get 10 of them. You want one first fruits, right? We get to keep the others. Don't worry, I don't have pumpkins with me. What about some pistachios? Time, talent, treasure. What are we doing with our 24 hours? Are we putting him first? Are we falling asleep on our books? How about some oranges? Right? Same thing. First fruits. He's not asking for all of it. Right? First fruits. What am I going to do with the other 9? I mean, there's a lot that we can still share. We can love God and love each other. He gives us just enough, if not more. But according to this, he is going to pour out such blessing that there is not room enough to receive it. So this is that upside down kingdom, right? It doesn't make sense, but somehow they're building companies on it. You know, the Hobby Lobby, the Chick-fil-A. Rebecca was telling us, you know, when you start to put, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense to the world. They don't have the eyes to hear, the eyes to see or the ears to hear, because they're not following the Holy Spirit. Okay, so if it doesn't make sense to the world, that's okay. You're probably doing something right. Right? So same thing with the apples. Okay, first fruits. We still have this much. This basket's getting pretty heavy, guys. Right? Still room to share. Still plenty for us and more to share. Right? Okay, last one. I won't pull out watermelons either, okay? So potatoes, same thing. And if we keep them all bunched up like this, there's no room for expansion, okay? If we tightly grip these things, like, we're not going to share, we're not going to give, okay? But if we open it up and let the air in and we pour out those first fruits, there's a whole lot of room. There's a whole lot more room here for expansion. So put God first. Love God, love your neighbor. That's it. And who's your neighbor? Anyone in need. Anyone in need. Doesn't matter the country, doesn't matter the background, doesn't matter anyone in need. Amen. James, can we end with James 1:22? Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving ourselves. Be doers. Just do it. Just do it. Don't take what you know and go out there and do nothing with it. Just take it with you on a Wednesday, a Thursday, a Monday morning when we all want to go to work, right? Yeah, it's okay. Do it anyway. Be doers of the word and not just hearers.
Praise God. I thought that basket was heavy. Right? Thank you, Kathy. Everybody give Kathy a hand for thank you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, worship team. Thank you. Praise God. Hallelujah. People are thinking, we got a football game, man. Come on, man. Glory to God. How many say amen? The Bible teaches us to give. Is that right? It teaches us to give. Sometimes people forget about, you know, the economy of God. God says, if you give, I mean, you don't have to give just a tenth. You can give 20%. I heard of the guy that does, you know, there's a tractor called the, which one was it? Was that the, I think it was a Randall or what's, have you heard of a tractor named Rand McNally? Is that right? Yeah, one of their CEOs, the president of the company, he started out with a tenth, went all the way up to 90% of his pay, and God was overwhelmingly blessing him. And I think it was Rand McNally, I'm not really sure. What's that? Laterno, is that him? Yeah, praise God. But that's, you know what, God is true to his promise. If you will give, the Bible says to give, is that right? You know, it doesn't tell you to go down a list of things to see why you can't give. It tells you to give. The Word of God tells us to give. And so when somebody has a need, they come to you. He says, give to them that ask of you. Is that what the Word of God says? Is that what it says? Yeah. And then it says to give your tenth to the church. Let me say amen to that. I don't preach that a lot here, because I figure you know it. No, really, because God gives me different messages. And the messages he gives me, like this morning, is not on tithing. And that's why I thank you, Kathy, for your efforts. And she's gone already. But folks, when you see it in God's word, just do it. And you watch what happens, okay? So I want to take you to Matthew chapter 9 today. Glory to God. Today's message is King of Hearts. It's not a card game. This is we're talking about Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 9, starting at verse 1. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 9, starting at verse 1. Matthew 9, verse 1 says, go Seahawks. Oh, man. Yeah, just kidding. Some of you are pretty, yeah. Okay, whatever. All right, praise God. Hey, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We ask you, Lord, that you would touch our hearts by your word. Father, you have sent your Holy Spirit to lead us and to guide us and to teach us. Father, we ask you, Lord, Holy Spirit, rise up, instruct us, show us things we haven't seen, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. If you agree, say amen. Amen. Matthew chapter 9, verse 1. I'm going to read down to verse 8, and it says, he entered into a ship and passed over and came into his own city. Remember his own city? Yeah, if you remember, he tried to do miracles there, but they're so full of unbelief, and they said, "Well, we know who this kid is. How can he be anything?" And so they basically rejected him. He came into his own city, and behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said to the sick of the palsy, "Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee." Praise God. That's got to shake some people up, amen? Just to say that, your sins are forgiven. And behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, "This man blasphemes." And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, "Wherefore think you evil in your hearts? Whether it's easier to say, 'Thy sins be forgiven thee,' or to say, 'Arise and walk,' but that you might know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins." Then he said to the sick of the palsy, "Arise, take up your bed, and go into your house." And he arose and departed into his house. But when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, which had given such power to men. Isn't that a cool story? I love it. I love it when God does something that everybody doesn't think he can do. Can you say amen to that? I love it. I love it when he does it in my life. How many of you have had God do something in your life that you didn't think he could do? I had a drinking problem, and I did not think I could ever be released from it. I thought I was a slave to it. And I had pretty much given up on it. But then I met Jesus. Praise God. Amen. What I could not do, he did in one instant. I didn't have to go to a 10-step program. I didn't have to have little coins that tell me, "Well, I've got 10 days clean. I've got 30 days clean. I've got a whole year clean now." I didn't have to go through anything like that. All it was, man, I gave my heart to the Lord, and he took it away. Can you say amen to that? That's the God I serve. He does greater things. I mean, everybody around me just thought I was just crazy because, he's not drinking no more, and he's talking that Bible stuff. Yeah, okay. They didn't know the miracle that God did in my life. Can you say amen to that? Glory to God. Hey, but I want to pinpoint a couple of scriptures here so we can move on. I believe it's verse 4. The Bible says, Jesus, knowing their thoughts. Can I just say this to you, every one of you in the house? You cannot hide your thoughts from God. Oh, you can hide them from me. You can hide them from your mom, your dad, your family. You can hide your thoughts, you think, from everybody. But the fact of the matter, you can't hide nothing from God. Can you say amen to that? You can run, but you can't hide. Is that right? I had a friend. Well, my brother had a friend that ran a barbershop in Tucson. And he would, every time I'd go see him. The guy's name was Ray. And every time I go to see him, even though I talked to him a lot, and he knew I was a Christian, he'd look at me and "Hey, Ray, how you doing?" And his first thing was, "Brother, you can run, but you can't hide. You need to keep it clean." Wow. And I said, hey, that's a good word. Can you say amen to that? You should tell that to everybody. You go around, shake their hand, tell them, "Hey, man, you can run, but you can't hide. Keep it clean. Stay clean." Can you say amen to that? I'll tell you why, because I'll tell you, if there's anything we need to do, if we need to understand, is that there's a lot of things out there that tries to take a hold of our minds. Is that right? Try praying on the road while you're driving. Try it. I'll be driving, I'm praying, having a good time, and there's a little jackrabbit goes across. "Hey, look at that jackrabbit." And all of a sudden, my mind's taken off about a jackrabbit. Is that right? You guys understand what I'm trying? Sometimes praying and trying to stay focused can be a problem. Is that right? But know that God knows your thoughts, and he knows your heart. You can't hide it from him. You can't hide anything from the Lord. He knows everything about you, which is very cool. I'm glad. Can you say amen to that? Can I tell you, it keeps me honest? Yeah, it really does. Knowing that God knows all of my thoughts, it really does keep me honest, because there's a lot of times where I said, Lord, forgive me, Father. I shouldn't even be thinking like this. I shouldn't even be going down this way. Is that right?
Yeah. Huh.
Does he forgive us? Oh, you bet he does. But I really do believe God likes to hear that. Forgive me, Father. I'm not living up to what you've called me to live up to. Is that right? Praise God. He says it in verse 9. I'm going to read this in verse 4 one more time. It says, wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? Knowing their thoughts, he said, why do you think evil in your hearts? See, he knows your heart. He's God. When I look at all of you guys, for me, it's impossible. It would be impossible for me to even think about it. If I put something up here that was red, okay? Some of you might be colorblind, I don't know. And some of you might say, well, that's not red. That's green or whatever. It would be impossible for me to even know that and understand it. But God knows it and understands it. He understands why you think the way you do. He understands why you... Let me just say this to you. Can I tell you that unclean thoughts, can I say, unclean thoughts can come at you. Is that okay? It's not, what doesn't mess you up is you seeing that they're coming at you. What messes you up is you receiving them and holding them. Release it and say, no, I ain't gonna think that way. That's contrary to my Father. Begin to take a hold of those things that God would say are contrary to his nature, because you're dead. How many know you're dead? Do you know that?
Yes.
Yeah, I see 5 hands. I want to tell you something. Yeah, really, the Word of God tells us that we have died. The minute we receive Christ as a Savior, we died. And you became a new creation. Is that okay? So you died, and things that you receive from this world are going to be filtered through that new life you have. Can you say amen to that? The mindset that you got, okay? So I will tell you, sometimes it can be a little bit, uh-oh, God knows what I'm thinking about this. Uh-oh, God. How many of you had somebody that you just really didn't like? And you're going down, you got to get some mayonnaise out of this aisle. You're going down the mayonnaise aisles, and they're standing just about where the mayonnaise is. So you turn around and you just wait. I'll wait till they're gone. Yeah. Can I just say this to you? Could it be that God placed them in the mayonnaise aisle so that you could deal with something going on in your heart? Can it be that way? I tell you, if you recognize things that way, you begin to have, you know, joy will begin to come to your life. Ooh, God, you know what I'm thinking about that person, and you want me to stop. I'm going to go to them, and I'm going to apologize, and I'm going to tell them I love them, and I'll buy their groceries if I have to, but I know that, God, you did it for me. Can you say amen to that? You will live a more joyful life than what turning around and waiting for them to leave. Is that okay? Come on, man. This God, man. We're talking about God. God knows your thoughts and knows your hearts. Praise God. I remember Rosie and I got invited to a tent revival. And I didn't know it was a tent revival. A brother just said, hey, will you come to church with me? And I said, yeah. And so I told Rosie, hey, we're going to go to church. Church? Yeah. It's not Sunday. Yeah, you know, it's not. It's Friday night. You want to go to church? She goes, oh, I said, well, this brother, he's been asking me, you want to go? Yeah. So we made an agreement to meet him at his house, and then from his house, he would show us where the church was. Well, the church was in a field, and it was a great big tent. It was a tent revival. The name of the evangelist was Brother Paul Hammond. And when we pulled in, the first thing Rosie said to me was, my dad told me to stay out of these places. Stay away from them people. They're crazy. Come on, man. I said, well, we can't leave now, babe. We're here. So she goes, don't leave me. Just don't leave me. I said, okay. So when we go in there, we're you know, they had played some music, and then the evangelist comes out and he says, I got to do something different today. I know you guys didn't, you never see me do this, but I really feel like God wants to heal some folks. So whoever needs something, whoever needs a healing, stand up here across the, and so we go, well, my friend talks to me. He says, Henry, God can heal your eye. I said, all right. And so I go standing up there with him, and Rosie pulls on my pants, and I go, oh, she tells me, I told you not to. Sorry. So the evangelist is praying for folks, and he gets to her. And this is what difficult. You can run, but you can't. He gets to her, and he looks at her, and she's looking at him. She's scared of him. She goes, I'm not supposed to be in these places. He looks at Rosie, and he tells her, you've been told to stay out of this place. You've been told to stay. I said, I didn't tell that to Lee. I didn't even know it till we drove up, Rosie. That's the first time Rosie said that to me. But you see, God knows those things. You can't hide things from God. And when he said that, I said, what? And he put his hand up, and Rosie started weeping. And I didn't believe in that stuff. I go, what the heck is going on? What is that? Lee, what are you giving us, man? I'll tell you that God reads your heart. Can you say amen? I'm going to say it to you again. He reads you. He reads your heart. He knows everything about you. You can't hide anything. You can't hide an event from him. You can't hide a bad thought. You can't hide a plan that you have. You can't hide anything from God. He knows you. Can you say amen to that? I'm going to tell you, and I'm glad he does. I'm glad. Because, yes, it keeps us honest. Can you say amen to that? Dishonesty comes when you think you can hide things. Is that right? When you think that you can be dishonest. You can't. Not with God. No way. You're on a losing battle. People have kind of, they don't like the way I say this, but I'm going to say it anyway. Because, you know, the kingdom of God is self-executing. You know what that means? The kingdom of God is self-executing. It executes itself on all of humanity. We are, whether we want to be in it or not, all of humanity is under the kingdom of God. All of humanity is, even though they don't know it. And when I say self-executing, this is what the Word of God says, and then this is why it'll help you. Because you do something wrong, and God says, by His kingdom, He says, He goes, whatsoever a man sows, he's going to reap it. Is that okay? You see, it's not that He wants to get after you, but this kingdom just operates that way. It's self-executing. It pushes. When you push against the kingdom of God will actually push back. Is that crazy? Because of the glory and the majesty of God, it will push back on anything that's pushing against it. It's when you say, psh, come on in, man. Come on, God. That's when you're going to find joy and peace and glory and everything. Yeah. It's not that the kingdom of God is shooting you. It's like self-executing. Jose, you did something wrong. Coach. Jose, you did something wrong. Coach. There's two Jose's over here, man. Sorry, man. Yeah. Yeah. Terry, you did something wrong. Boom. You didn't like execute. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about this kingdom that rules over all. It has laws in the way it operates. And so when you're operating contrary to those laws, like not giving and stuff like that, it really pushes against you. The kingdom of God does not help you. Can you say amen? Man, this is kind of a weird message, isn't it? Yeah, it is. Well, it's something we need to understand. Though you can't get away with anything. Is that okay? Praise God. David knew that God saw the thoughts of his heart. He penned this in Psalm chapter 19, verse 14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. You see how David is saying, Lord, let my thoughts be acceptable. I want my thoughts to be acceptable. I don't want my thoughts to be anywhere contrary to any of the people of the kingdom of God. Can you say amen to that? I got to watch my thoughts when I watch certain people on TV. I mean, this one lady used to drive me crazy. I mean, I see her and I say, turn that off. Man, and I realized that God was showing me something because every time I turned on my TV, there she was. She was there. She would show up within the first 5-10 minutes. Nancy Pelosi. And I go, oh, golly, there's a lady. You know, and turn it off, man. Change the channel, whatever. But I realized something. That God has told me to pray for all men and women. I will tell you that the kingdom of God, when I was in that state of the kingdom of God was pushing against me. It was saying, hey, what does my word say? What does the word of God say? Is that right? I hope you guys understand what I'm talking about. Because I said, maybe I'm the only one. Yeah, okay. But anyway, if you're that way with anybody that you see, there's other characters that are in there right now that I'm looking at. I go, oh man, God, I really got to pray for this guy. Because, you know, hey, I don't want to try to hide anything from God. And he knows what, how I'm doing. Praise God. So Matthew chapter 12, verse 35 says this. This is why it's so important. Check this out. O generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? Jesus was talking to the Pharisees. Isn't that cool? And so he's not talking to us. No, actually, whenever he's talking, most of his principles and what he's saying are usually towards us. Can you say amen? He says, generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Is that okay? How many of you believe that? How many have allowed some things in your heart to come out of your mouth that really should have never come out of your mouth and really should have never been in your heart? Anybody like that? Yeah, just one. Okay, that's good. We're good. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. Is that cool? An evil man out of the evil treasure of brings forth evil things. So either way, one way or another, your mouth is going to bring forth something. Is that okay? Is that right? Yeah, I love it, man. I love it. This is a good place to say, watch what you say. Is that right? But even more than that, is a good, better place to say, watch what you think. Because whatever you're thinking, it's going to end up coming out of your mouth. Is that all right? That's what the Word of God says. And it brings forth evil things or brings forth good things. How many want good things? Yeah, come on, man. We're after those good things, the good things of God. Hallelujah. Isaiah 55, verse 6 and 7 says this, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he's near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his what? His thoughts. Let them forsake their way, the way they're doing things, and their thoughts, get rid of them. Is that right? And let him return unto the Lord, for he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Isn't that great? Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? I'm glad God didn't just continually batter me about Nancy Pelosi. I'm glad, because he saw me in my heart saying, God, I got to pray for this lady. I wasn't crazy about Obama, but I prayed for him enough that when he left office, I actually felt something. Lord, do something in his life now that he's out of that position. He really wasn't out of that position, now was he? But hey, who cares? I'm not a political man. Can I say that to you? I am of the kingdom. I am a kingdom man, but I know that the political parties, they affect the way people think. Can you say amen to that? So it's important that I, as a pastor, preach these things to you because it's how you think that's important. Is that okay? And if you bring forth trash against folks, what does the Bible say about stuff like that? Whatsoever you sow, you're gonna quit speaking trash. Speak blessing to them. Try with all your heart to be authentic. Can you say amen? God, I'm doing this because you told me to. That's the only reason. God bless them. Can I tell you, Paul was a culprit. Paul the apostle. When he was Saul of Tarsus, he was a culprit. He was arresting Christians and taking them and putting them in jail and imprisoning them. Some of them were losing their lives. He was horrible to Christians. But yet God had a plan. Somebody was praying for him. Amen?
Amen.
Somebody was praying for him. He learned all the stuff about God. He learned about God. He learned the Word of God. He knew what God's Word says. He knew scriptures like crazy. He was a scholar of scholars. He was. So God needed a scholar of scholar to speak some of these things to the body of Christ like us. Can you say amen to that? To make it clear of what God's intent for man was. Read the book of Romans and Corinthians and all of Paul's writings. Read them and look at them. This was a man that was against Christianity. Yet God had a plan for him, just like he's got a plan for you. Paul himself said, I had to get rid of everything. As much as I could have been better than, I was better than all of them. I was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. And he said, I count it as poop. That's what he says. Dung. He calls it dung. I count it as poop compared to the glory of God. Isn't that cool? Shoosh. Glory to God. He had to turn loose of his thoughts and begin to go with God, if you will. Amen. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2 says this. If you be risen with Christ, how many of you have given your heart to the Lord? Do you know that when you gave your heart to the Lord, you died? You died in that moment. You were buried. Is that okay? You were buried with him.
And resurrected.
How many of you remember the smell of the dirt? I do. Why? Because I was in some bad stuff. He went to hell. You remember that? He went down to the deepest part of hell to pay for our sins. And then 3 days later, God the Father said, that's enough. The bill is paid. Get him out of there. And he was risen from the grave. So, when God said, that is enough, get him out of there. Aaron? He said, get Aaron out of there. Pastor John, he said, John, get out. Terry, he said, get Terry out of there. He said, Steve, get him out of there. Gina, get her out of there. You rose with him. And not only did it stop there, but as the Bible says, that he ascended into heaven. Is that right? You ascended with him. Can you say amen?
Amen.
You might not know this. You know, probably don't remember it, but nevertheless, it was in his heart. He's carrying you.
That's it.
You went to heaven with him. Sat down at the right hand of the Father. That's where you're going to find the Word of God tells you that you are in heavenly places in Christ. Do you know that? That's pretty cool, man. Because you're a new creature in Christ. You've been born again. Is that right? Sometimes people will say, oh, I got you now. You're one of those born again people. I feel like slapping them when they do that. Watch out what you hear. Yeah, watch your thoughts, Henry. I'm born again. Who is that? You look like some kind of a bug. So yeah, that's right. I'm born again, man. I am a new creature in Christ. Old things have passed away. All things have become brand new. I was an alcoholic, but not anymore. I'm a son of God. The word of God has washed me and cleansed me and kept me all these years. Can you say amen to that? I was talking to this friend that took us to that revival. I couldn't remember the name of the evangelist. I kept saying, Fred Hammond. That don't sound right. Fred Hammond is a musician, I'm a Christian musician. I said, man, so I finally had to get a hold of him, ask him, who was it? His name was Paul Hammond. And he says, I remember the day that you went down there. He's telling me, I remember when you and Rosie stood before him. And Rosie was not able to get pregnant. And he goes, and after that, what happened? Come on, man. Yeah, I will tell you that God knew exactly what we needed, even though we didn't ask for it. Can you say amen to that? All Rosie got was, you were told not to be here. Boom, that's all she needed. But God gave what we needed. God gave it. That's crazy. God knows everything about us. He knows what you need. He's not going to let you flounder. He's not going to let you fall apart at the seams unless you just do it without believing him. He wants you to believe him. Believe him. Believe him. Is that okay? Forsake those thoughts. Sometimes we have thoughts think like, God's not listening to me. That's a lie. That thought is a lie. God doesn't care about me. That's a lie. He cared about you so much, he died for you. How can you say he doesn't care about you? He does. Doesn't care about my situation. Yes, he does. He probably created it for you so that you could see his kingdom and his glory in your life. You could see the result of trusting God. Can you say amen to that? Ooh, hallelujah. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2 says this. To be risen with... Did I already read that? Yeah. It feels very familiar. I better read it again. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are where? Above. Above. Where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Is that right? The Bible tells us we're seated with him there. Isn't that cool? You're not only an inhabitant of earth, but you're an inhabitant of heaven. The citizenship to you has been opened wide. Isn't that cool? And it says, set your affection on things above and not on things of the earth. Is that okay?
Yes.
Come on, that's it. Praise God. Psalm chapter 37, verse 4 says this. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Here's a scripture that I said, that's cool. God's going to give me what I want. Is that okay? Well, I want Green Valley to get saved. Well, I'd like to see all my friends knowing the Lord. Can I tell you that God, those are probably desires that God gave me. I never wanted those things before I got saved. It didn't matter to me. I don't care. I don't care about them. All I care about me and Rosie, that's it. And the babies and the kids and my mom, whatever. Just about me. Me. Is that right? Now, there's a whole need to give me the desires of my heart. I want to see God working in down in Green Valley, Salvador. I want to see God glory in me in the earthquake. I want to see God changing the high school. Now, those are thoughts that probably God, those are desires God gave me. But he didn't give me desires like, hey, I want a Corvette. Or I want a bigger house. Can I tell you, when God told me that I was going to get a house, I was all fired up. I said, yeah. And I told Roger, we're going to get a house, man. God said he's going to get a house. No more trailers. We still live in a trailer, by the way. God, behind this building back there, God said, this is a house I said I was going to give you. I go, what? This house? No, I didn't really say it. I said, yeah, God. Come on, man.
You're going to give us. You're going to give us. Did he give it to us? Did he? Yeah. See, he's got crazy. He's got crazy things. He'll give you the desires of your heart. So this is what I want. This is what I really feel the Lord wants us to talk about. Consider that he's the king of your heart. Consider that he is the king of your heart. Is that okay? Anything that's coming, anything that comes towards your heart that's contrary to his kingdom, you know, he's going to say, you're going to know it, and you're going to say, kick it out. Get it out. Get it out. Don't receive that. Don't take that. Get it out. Because he wants to give you the desires of your heart. He wants to give you, because you're what? You are what? Dead. We're dead. Are we dead? But we're alive in Christ, right? So it's his heart that's beating within you. He wants to give you what he has for you. His desires for your heart. He will give you the desires that he has for you in your heart. He'll take you in a direction you didn't even think you'd go. Because it's his desire in your heart. Can you say amen to that? I hope you're catching on to this, because this is very important for you to understand. That if you can figure out what you're going after and what God might want you to go after, that's a decision point for you. Where you say, you know what? I'm going to leave that alone. I'm going to go after God. And if he wants me to pick that up later, that's okay. My car, I got an old 55 Chevy. You guys know I have a 55 Chevy? I've seen that. It's an old car. When I got saved, you know where that car went? Back of the property. I said, that is a false god to me, man. I spent a lot of money on it, and I want it to look better than anybody else's cars and everything. So I pushed it to the back of the property, and I didn't touch it. I didn't work on it. Wouldn't do anything to it. Every once in a while, I look back there and go, wow, maybe I ought to sell it. But one day, I was out there, and I was just looking at it. I want to see how bad it was getting, just sitting there. And the Lord said something. There's nothing wrong with this. You can work on this. I know you like it. right back up to where I had before. I said, come on, God. All right. God likes old cars. Yeah, come on, man. God, how many know God likes old cars? How many know that? How many like God likes new cars? Yeah, how many know God likes horse and buggies? God, I mean, you know what? God loves this creation. Can you say? What he doesn't want is us going after things other than him. That's all it is. You go after him, he will give you the desires of your heart. He'll take you where he wants you to go, and he'll give you those things that you thought you couldn't live without. Isn't that cool? Proverbs 4:23 says this. So this is one, I believe God is. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Here is a word in Proverbs talking to you, saying, hey, keep your heart, guard it. Other translations say, guard your heart. Other translations say, like the NIV says, out of it are the flow of life. Life flows out of your heart. That's what Jesus was talking about. A good man or the good treasure of his heart produces good things. So keep your heart with all diligence. In other words, watch what goes into your heart. Be very careful about it. For out of it are the issues of life. How many want to issue life? Whenever I go and somebody needs something, I want to be able to issue life to them. God, give me a word for them. Help me to speak something into their life that will help them, God. Don't let me ignore them, but give me an issue that comes from your throne for them. Can I tell you a word? A word that is choicely placed by God in your mouth to give to somebody is something very, very powerful. Can you say amen to that? How many have ever been talking to somebody and all of a sudden something comes to your mind while you're talking to them? Pay attention to that, because that is the Lord saying something to that person.
Jeremiah 29:11 says this, I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to bring you, to give you an expected end. Whose expected end? His. The whole reason that he created you, he's got an expected end for you. What he created you for, the reason he created you for, his reason, not yours, but his reason. Oh. That reason, it will overwhelm you. It will make it, you will feel connected like no other thing. Because it's his reason. It's his reason that he created you. Why did you create us, Lord? What was it that you saw in us that you thought we needed to be this way? Why is Rosie mean to me, Lord? She says, because you're dumb. I got a friend at the mine. I got a friend of the mine. I love him. He's Carlos, and he's got some nice words for me all the time. But I would never work overtime. Man, I don't need it, bro. Hey, you got to work overtime? No, not unless it's forced. I work it if it's forced. But if you guys are just asking, sorry, I got things to do. I would never work overtime. But then when I became salary and I was working upstairs and they gave me a workload that I had to complete, and man, I'm trying to get these things done. I'm staying till, I used to leave at 4:00. I'm staying till 8:30, 9:00 every night. And my friend Carlos, he'd come in, he'd see me there still. He goes, you're dumb. He says, before you could make overtime money. But now your salary, you're not making no money being here. You're dumb. And I started thinking about it, saying, you know what? You're right. And I bet you Rosie's thinking the same thing. But why did he give us? Why does he have a plan for our lives? Nobody in this room, nobody out there, God didn't create them without a plan for them, a specific plan for them. Everybody in this room, God has a plan for you. Can you say amen to that? And the best thing to do is get on the plan. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Yeah. Get on that plan. Here's John chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. This is why. He says, many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Can you say amen to that? That's what I desire. I desire to walk like a son of the living God. Can you say amen to that? That whatever, like if God says to me, hey man, walk over there and pray for that guy in that wheelchair, I'll listen, I'll go and I'll pray, and it's up to God what he wants to do with it. And if he jumps up and everything, glory to God. Can you say amen to that?
Yeah.
To as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God, born of God. You see, I don't care however you got onto this planet, doesn't matter. Because God says, I planned it. You are not a mistake. You are not somebody's slip. You are here because I planned it. And I've got blessing. And I've got destiny, I've got purpose for you in every area of your life, if you'll believe it. Because that's who God is. He doesn't mess around with lives. He created us for a reason and for a purpose. Can you say amen to that? I'm gonna give you this one last verse, but it's mostly for the husbands in the house. Yeah. This is what God says. And I'm gonna tell you, I've said this to somebody. I said this to somebody, and they said, oh man, I don't know about that. But Terry, or Liz, I didn't give it to you. It's Ephesians 5:25. How many of you know Jesus is the King of Hearts? He is the King of Hearts, man. I asked the folks in last Thursday night, I said, where is the capital of the kingdom of God? The capital of the kingdom of God is the heart of Christ. because Jesus is the governor. The government is on his shoulders, and he governs by the heart. When he tells you something, you just do it. Yeah, come on, man. When he speaks to you, do it. Amen?
Right, amen.
When he tells you to rest, calm down, take a five, ese. Take a five, ese. Is that right? Just wait on him. If he tells you to rest, you can rest. You don't have to be running around like crazy. Is that right? But this is what he says to you guys that are married. Is that right? Here's the, husbands, what? Love your wives. He's the king of hearts. Hey, let's just say this whole week is a week of hearts. Is that okay? We're heading for what? Valentine's Day. Anybody like Valentine's Day? Okay. Boy, I better... Hello? Anybody out there? Hello? Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Say, Jesus gave his life for us. Husbands, you can give your life for your wife. Can you say amen to that? Is that cool? I tell her, Rosie, hey, I didn't marry you to live with you. I married you because I can't live without you. Is that okay? Hey, husbands, love your wives. Be good to them. Don't make fun of them like I make fun of my wife. Yeah, she knows me. She knows my heart. I hope you guys do too. Can you guys stand? Pray for you guys. Let the king of my heart. Let the king of my heart. Father, I thank you for your word. Father, I thank you for your people. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that your greatest desire for us is that we would just believe you. Just believe you. So, Father, I pray for every heart in this house, Lord, that they would believe you beyond belief. That they would understand your desire to be with them in their lives, God, at every moment of the day. Thank you for that, Father. As they go out, Father, watch over them. Keep them. Cause them to be the head, not the tail, above, not beneath. Allow them, Father God, Lord, to be your representatives in a world that doesn't know you, so that this world that doesn't know you will come to know you through the body of Christ. In Jesus' name, I pray. If you agree, say amen. Shake somebody's hand. Tell them thanks for coming to church. We'll see you next Sunday. Wear your cowboy hats, cowgirl hats.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the Word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.